Now I'm going to read tonight, first of all, we're going to read four scriptures together. The first one is in 2 Peter, in chapter 3. That's towards the back of our Bibles. The second epistle of Peter in chapter 3. And we'll read verse 9. The second epistle of Peter, chapter 3, and reading at verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now we'll turn back to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 6. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, and we'll read at verse 31. Matthew 6 and verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now back to the back of our Bible again, the first epistle of John, and chapter 5. And we'll read at verse 9. The first of John, chapter 5, and reading at verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And then a final verse is in John's Gospel in chapter 3. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, and verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now the Lord will bless his word, I'm sure, to our hearts this evening, and trust help for a few moments in this opening part of the meeting. I just want to think very simply of God tonight that's brought before us in these four portions that we've read together, and I want to think about it in this way. God's will that is seen in 2 Peter chapter 3. The Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What is God's will? Well, God's will is that none should perish. So God's will is seen in 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm thinking of God's way in Matthew chapter 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Instead of getting all taken up with the cares of everyday life, which is so important in themselves, but God says there's something that is more important than even that. There's something that's far above, far greater than what our everyday circumstances in life and business and so on. What is it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, the Lord Jesus said, and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. So I was thinking of God's way. When we come to 1 John chapter 5, I'm thinking of God's word tonight. Ye believe the record of man, the record of God is greater. And so when I think of the word of God is something, friend, that can be depended upon. You can rest upon the word of God 100%. With both feet, you can stand upon the word of God and rest assured of what God says that God exactly means. Then when we come to the last one that we read tonight, on the solemn side of things is God's wrath. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And so the solemn side of the gospel is concerning God's judgment or God's wrath as a result of man's sin. Friend, if there was no reason to be saved, there would be no reason to preach the message of the gospel that you need to be saved. But because there is a reason of being saved, there is a need of being saved in a person's life, that's why the gospel is presented, that's why Christ had to die on the cross, that's why we have meetings convened like this, in a place like this, to present to men, fellow travelers to eternity, on the road of life and going to eternity. Friend, there's a need of your being saved tonight, and one of those reasons is the wrath of God that awaits the soul that misses God's salvation. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's the Lord Jesus. He that believeth on God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible declares, hath everlasting life. He has got everlasting life. There's no doubt about it. There's no wonderings about it. There's no hoping so about it. It is something that is sure and steadfast and real, is having God's great and wondrous salvation. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And we've been reminded in nights past, and verily in every night, in the proclamation of the gospel in this building at this time, of the judgment of God that awaits the person that misses God's great salvation. And so I would ask you tonight, right at the beginning of my few remarks, friend, has there been a time in your life when you've come to know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? In the terms of what we were reading in the Bible tonight, has there been a time in your life when you believed on the Son, God's Son, accepted Him as your Savior? A moment when you saw your need of God's salvation? Every person that gets saved comes to a time when they understand why I need to be saved. You know, I always heard in my life that I should be saved. But you know, until it really dawned on my soul, David, you need to be saved tonight. You need to be saved now. Your day and time of opportunity is passing quickly by. And at any moment, your little life could go into eternity. And friend, I get down to business about my soul's salvation and my need of being saved. Why, I didn't want to be in hell for eternity. You know, the Bible is very clear and very plain. There is but two roads, and there is but two destinies. We are either going to be in heaven tonight, or we are going to be in hell when our little journey of life is over. That's not a message that everybody likes to hear. Not every person in the world would even listen to a message that would speak about God's judgment, or speak about hell, or speak about the lake of fire. Why, a lot of people would become uncomfortable with that kind of preaching. One woman in Cape Breton, and Brother Mr. Bingham, we were there in the tent one summer, and you know what, one woman that came, and she came quite regular, she said, you know, I go to church, and I feel pretty good. But she said, since I started coming to these tent meetings, she said, I feel kind of uncomfortable. She said, I don't feel as good as when I sometimes go to church. Well, that's the business of the gospel, friend, is to make a person uncomfortable in their sin, that they might understand their need of God's salvation. I'll tell you, I got uncomfortable about about needing to be saved in the meetings I sat in. My mom and dad were Christians. I was brought up in a Christian home, and I was just as careless as many in this gospel meeting tonight. Why, you just figure out, well, I'll get it sometime. Surely I'm hearing the gospel all the time, and I know the gospel, and my mom and dad are saved, and I've got a Bible, and I've got verses. Why, friend, don't you fall back on that you can get saved anytime. There's many a soul that's in eternity tonight that thought they could get saved whenever they wanted to, and they find themselves in the great eternity tonight, never to be saved. That's why when God comes into an area and comes into a place in a special way, like he's doing just now, friend, He brings with His coming an opportunity for perhaps you in this meeting tonight. Perhaps there's a boy in this meeting tonight, and this is your opportunity for God's salvation. And if you pass it by, why, never to get it again. Wouldn't that be solemn? And every tick of the clock is taking the soul into eternity. And it's not only old people that die. One man said at the table tonight, he said, the old must die, but the young may die. And how often we're reminded over and over again, as I thought, why somebody in our gospel meeting tonight may be getting their last call for heaven. Wouldn't that be solemn? I'll tell you, that would change the gospel meetings. If you understood, it would change these meetings as far as yours is concerned. If you understood, this could be my last call for heaven. God may be coming right into my life and crossing my path at this time because He's calling me and He's wanting me to be saved. I've rejected Him now for years of my life and for days of my life and series of meetings after series of meetings. And this is my time. My friend, I hope you grasp it tonight. You know what God's will is? God's will is that you might not perish. You know your will? Your will tonight is that you're going to perish the way that you're going. Because you're not willing to stop in the road that you're taking, the course that you're traveling. And if you continue, friend, on the way that you're going and going in the way that you're willing to go and wanting to go, do you know what's going to happen? You're going to perish. You know, when I think of God's long-suffering, I think of it even in your life tonight. Do you know that a year ago, perhaps a year ago, that you could have been in eternity? You know, every time we go on the highway, that we're just passing death, vehicle after vehicle. I just read in the paper today, an accident across the way here on Saturday, was it? And there's a man that died and has gone into eternity from that vehicle. Well, how often is that happening? And how do you know but the vehicle that you get in tonight? Or maybe just a walk down the street and the vehicle that loses control and plunges into your body and ushers you into the great eternity. Friend, you don't know and I don't know. But in the proclamation of the gospel, we seek to present to men and women and boys and girls, you're so near eternity, friend. And you could be in eternity ere the sun rises tomorrow morning. Could find you in eternity, or could find me in eternity, or could find all of the Christians gone to heaven, for the Lord Jesus is coming back again. And if the Lord was to come tonight, how would He find you? Well, God's will tonight, friend, for you is that you might not perish, that you might not lose your soul, that you might not die in your sins, but that you might get your sins forgiven and have peace with God. Would you like to be saved tonight? Would you like to be saved, man, in the meeting tonight, or woman, or boy, or girl? Do you know that every one of us here tonight, we're going into that great eternity? You and I are going to be tonight either with God in heaven for the eternal ages, or we're going to be shut out of heaven, and we're going to be in that awful place the Bible calls hell, and then the Bible speaks about the lake of fire, and it's going to be for eternity as well. If it was just for a few years, why, maybe it wouldn't matter too much. Perhaps we could handle it. Perhaps we could suffer it through. You know, that the Bible tells us that's not the way it is. The Bible reminds us, friend, that is for eternity. That is forever and forever and forever. And we couldn't say that enough tonight. You and I are here for a short time, but we are going away forever. And we're not coming back. And you know what God's will for you tonight is that you might get saved. You know, we got a call one night. We were having some meetings in Nova Scotia, and we got a call one night. You know, when the thing comes home, it makes a difference. You know, when it's somebody else all the time, then really, you know, we just get accustomed to it, and there's really not much to it. But we got a call that our mom had heart failure, and she was in the hospital, and we were to come as quick as we could. So there was four boys in the family. We all got in the vehicle and went down to the hospital about 11 o'clock at night. We got there and we rushed into the hospital ward. And they got her sitting up in bed because she couldn't lie down. And you know, from the time that we went in right through to about 5 o'clock in the morning, we was there around the bed and she was literally just shaking. And the water was just literally pouring off of her. You know what was? Pain. And the pain was so intense that she was just shaking in the bed and you know what she said to me in the morning? Around 5 o'clock in the morning, things started to level out a little bit. I'd never witnessed that before, but I'll tell you, it's different when it's your mother. When it's somebody else's mother, or if somebody else's, well, you know, that's the way of life, but when it comes home, friend, it makes all the difference in the world. You know what my mother said to me? She said, David, you know, I'm some thankful I'm saved. And I thought, yeah, not much wonder.
She said, I'm some thankful. She said, if something had have happened to me, if my heart had have stopped, and I'd have went into eternity, she said, all through that night, I could never have thought about getting saved. She said, I could never have thought that I need my sins forgiven. She said, the pain was so intense. My, she said, I'm some thankful that I got the matter settled before, that I wouldn't be passing through a time like this, trying to get the matter settled. And I thought, isn't that so true? Why, God is long-suffering, and He gives health and strength to men and women, and He just lengthens the day of grace in your life, and He just gives you more days and weeks and months and years to hear the gospel. But how do you know, friend, this may be your last opportunity? And God has brought the gospel again right to your door, that you might get saved. Ah, friend, tonight, don't fool with it. When I come to Matthew chapter 6, I think of God's way. You know, we get so taken up with everything as far as life is concerned. You know, the business, we get taken up with business, and rightly so. Of course, a person needs to be diligent in business, I guess, if he's going to make it anyway. And we get all taken up with school, and we get all taken up with our friends, and we get all taken up with sports, and we get all taken up with just everyday living. And that's just about how much it takes, too. Every day is so occupied and so busy, there's hardly time to fit in everything that needs to be done. One person said, you know, we need about 6 Saturdays in a month instead of 4. Well, life is so busy. But, you know, God comes into the picture. And you know what God says? He says, boys and girls tonight in this gospel meeting, and men and women tonight in the world, there's something you need to get set straight, a priority that you need to get set straight in your life. Sure, business is important. Sure, school is important. Sure, making a living is important. And the family is important. And everything else, whatever you want to put. But there's one thing that outshines them all. There is one thing that is more important than anything else that you want to mention as far as this life is concerned. Why, I suppose if you ask St. Louis, they'd say Wayne Gretzky's the most important thing now that ever happened to St. Louis. Well, friend, it isn't. The most important thing and the need in the person's life is God's salvation. And so the Lord says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. We were reminded the other night, at least one night in Luke chapter 12, of a man who turned it the other way. And he went in for business. And he went in for thinking about pleasure. And he thought about heaven just retiring. And, you know, everything was going to be 100%. But I'll tell you, everything wasn't 100% in that man's life. You know what happened? God. It all about God. And God looked down and He says, fool, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Why, isn't that the story of life so often? The struggle of life and the rigor of life and everything that goes with it. And then just when you get to the place where, you know, where you think, I'm going to be able to set back a little bit now and enjoy some of this, gone. How often that happens. And now, of course, how often it happens through life. Never make it. Got the goal set. Got it all planned out. Like the man who picked up the hitchhiker. And he said, well, son, he said, what are you doing? Well, he said, I'm going to college. Well, he said, what are you going to do when you finish college? He said, well, I'm going to take up medicine. In college, when I'm finished, I'm going to set up my practice in the community and so on. Well, he said, what are you going to do after you set up the practice? Well, he said, I'll probably get married or, you know, meet a girl and get married and settle down and have a family. And he said, well, what are you going to do after that? Well, he said, when I'm done, I'll retire and, you know, cruise around and do some of the things that we always wanted to do. And then he said, what are you going to do after that? And of course, the fellow was getting a little more uncomfortable all the time. Well, he said, I suppose I'll have to think about dying. Well, he said, well, what about after that? What are you going to do after that? What are you going to do? Friend, the Lord Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The thing that you need to put first in your life tonight is not the things of this life, as important as they may be. I've mentioned that my dad said in gospel meetings, Mr. Holder and Doug Howard were
were preaching the gospel meetings down for a number of years when we were growing up. And my dad often said, he says, well, he says, you can take your grade again. You can always take your grade again. Repeat the grade, as bad as that would be. But he says, you can always repeat your grade again, but you may never get another chance to be saved. So these meetings are all important. Well, friend, we want to remind you tonight that your soul's salvation is all important. There is nothing more important than your getting saved. Do you believe that tonight? Would you fit into that thought tonight, that it's number one? Well, friend, and if it never becomes number one, then it'll never come into your life. A person never drifts into salvation. There's not one soul that ever drifteth into God's salvation. The man said you can drift down to hell, but you'll not drift into salvation. A person that gets God's salvation is a person that wants it with all his heart. A person that wants to be saved more than anything else in the world. Friend, ever been there? Would you like to have your sins forgiven tonight? Well, God's way, seek ye first the kingdom of God. You put that number one in your life of getting God's salvation. God's word declares, you know, when I read 1 John 5 today, thinking about the meeting, I thought we were in St. John's, Newfoundland, and one of the family, he worked at the fire station. He was a fireman. Well, we always wanted, and the kids always wanted to visit the fire station and see what was on at the fire station, and the first thing we wanted to see was the pole, where they slide down the pole to get to the truck. Well, so we went down to the fire station. He took us down to the fire station, took us all through, and showed us all the things on the truck. And while we was there, the buzzers went off, the bells went off, and the place just began to vibrate when we were there. And of course, the kids, me too, kind of got a start. And so we hardly knew where to go or what to do. And these fellas, they grabbed their coats and their hats, and within seconds, and they jumped on this pole with everything, and down the pole they went, out of sight, and then roared off in the fire truck. Why? You know why? There was a fire. Somebody called in or pulled the fire alarm. There was a fire in a certain part of the city of St. John's, Newfoundland. Well, anyway, the fellow we was with, we had the whole thing open too, so he showed us through, and we was wondering what was happening. Pretty soon, we saw the trucks coming back. They said, false alarm. They said, we get them all the time, of course, but we have to respond. And I thought to myself, as I thought about that, I thought, you know, people will believe the record. They will believe the word that man says. Somebody notified them there's a fire in a certain place, and they responded to the word of that man. You know, somebody rushed into this building, and if you didn't know that man or woman at all and said, called you by name and said, your house is on fire, what would you do? Well, you say, I don't know who he is. Who's he trying to fool? And you just sit here and forget it. Well, friend, you wouldn't. You know what you'd do? You'd leave this building just as fast as you could and to check it out. Why? Because you'd take that man's word for it. Even if you didn't know the man, if he called your name and said that your house was on fire or you was wanted on the phone, you'd respond, and I would too. And God says you'll believe what man says. You'll take man's word. You'll believe the man, but you will not believe me. God's word. And I want to tell you, friend, God's word, he doesn't tell a lie. God is not a man that he should tell a lie. God tonight, friend, is calling for individuals with 100% reality, with 100% truth, and his word can be depended on. You know what God says tonight? He that believeth on the Son, he that hath the Son hath life. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And you know tonight you can rest upon the word of God. God's word can be depended upon. You can stand upon it, friend, tonight, four square, with both feet. Depend upon it that what God says, God means. And so when I come to John chapter 3, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Do you know why I thought of that today? A triumph. If there's any triumph, we see it in the gospel. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's the triumph of the gospel. A person who believes the gospel, takes God at his word, and accepts the Lord Jesus as their Savior, friend, that's a triumph in his life. But the tragedy is, he that believeth not the Son shall not see light, but the wrath of God abideth on him. What a tragedy. Will it be triumph in your life tonight, I wonder? Or will it be tragedy? Will it be triumph for you, boy or girl or man or woman in the meeting tonight? The triumph of receiving God's Son? You know, there was a girl in the meeting here the other night, and her dad got saved through reading this verse. And we were there when it happened. Mr. Bingham and I again, and he was going over this verse. Mr. Bingham was reading it to him. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He says, well, I believe on the Son. Well, he said, do you have everlasting life? He said, no, I don't have everlasting life. Well, what does the verse say? The verse says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And you say that you believe on the Son, but you don't have everlasting life. Well, now somebody's telling the truth here, and somebody's telling a lie. Who do you think's telling the truth? Well, I want to tell you, God is telling the truth. And God says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. The man said he believed on the Son, he didn't have everlasting life. You know why? Because he didn't believe on the Son. He didn't believe on the Lord Jesus. He didn't believe that Christ died for his sins on the cross. If he did, he would have everlasting life. Because God says, the man who believes on the Son hath everlasting life. Now, do you believe it tonight? Or not? Would you believe God tonight? Or not? It's one thing, of course, or the other. Because God says, the man who believes on the Son hath everlasting life. Now, do you believe it tonight? Or not? Would you believe God tonight? Or not? It's one thing, of course, or the other. Well, I'm just simple enough, friend, to believe God. And God said, to my soul one day, God said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And you know what I appreciate it? The triumph of the gospel in my life, Jesus died for me. The tragedy, friend, we hope it will not be your experience. The tragedy of losing your soul for the eternal ages, to meet with the wrath of God. There's no need of that. Tonight, you can have your sins forgiven by trusting Christ. God grant that you might. For God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.